Thank you for being here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2 will be in this morning as we go to God's Word. What a blessing to be in God's house on God's day and to open up His Word together. Always a blessing. And if we will listen, the Holy Spirit will do a work in our hearts through His powerful Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we'll look at together this morning. And verse 10, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So our title today from verse 10 will be "The People of God." That's us. Let's pray. Lord, we love You so much. We thank You for Your precious and powerful Word. Ask that You use it in our hearts today to teach and grow us, Lord, that You'd guide us in Your truth, that You would be glorified in this service. Lord, not only by the giving of the Word, which we pray You would guide, but also our response as we listen. And Lord, work miracles in hearts today. And if there's someone not born again yet, may they realize You love them, and You're willing to save them from their sins if they will but come to Christ, even today. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. If you're born again today, you are a chosen generation. What a blessing to know. Amen. At the beginning of the book, over chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." That does not teach predestination, but it does teach election. And what that means is God, knowing everything, and time meaning nothing to God, and His foreknowledge, knew who the elect would be and who the chosen would be. And if you're born again, you're chosen. And you could only but say praise God for that. Amen? You are chosen to be one of God's children who will spend forever with Him in heaven. Think about that. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus did. We are a chosen generation through salvation in Jesus Christ. And in this passage, God's going to reveal some great truths about His chosen generation. And the first one is in verse 9 that we are now a priesthood. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a priesthood. It was the Aaronic priesthood. Their job was, of course, to mostly offer up sacrifice of animals on behalf of the people. Our priesthood is totally different. The priesthood that you see in the Catholic Church is not scriptural. But our priesthood is scriptural. And what does it mean to be a priest for God? It means that you and I, if you look at Ephesians 6:18, now have the privilege of praying for one another and praying for the lost. And every time we get down on our knees and pray for someone else, we are executing that office of a priest. Now, we're not interceding for salvation, but we are interceding in prayer, asking for God to bless someone else, asking for God to heal someone else, whatever the prayer might be, to save someone else. Notice Ephesians 6:18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We now have the privilege of praying for others, and that makes us priests. Jesus even told us in His Gospels, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. As we pray that prayer request that Jesus told us to pray for, we are executing the office of the priesthood. And then in Revelation 1, verse 6, if you turn there quickly, talking about Jesus and His ministry to us through Calvary, here in this introductory chapter to Revelation, the Bible says, verse 6, "He hath made us kings and priests." We haven't got the king part yet. That comes in the kingdom, which is yet in the future. But we are priests for Jesus Christ. It says there, "unto God and His Father." You and I are kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. How is that possible? The end of verse 5, "He washed us from our sins in His own blood." If you've been washed from your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are now part of a royal priesthood. What makes it royal? Because it's for the King of Kings. Amen? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. You are now a chosen generation, and through that you are now a royal priesthood. Look at the next one, 1 Peter 2:9, and holy nation. There's two aspects to that, of course. One is doctrinal and one is practical. Doctrinally, and we just talked about this in Sunday school this morning, God works a miracle when he saves us and he imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ unto us. He also justifies us through Jesus Christ and makes us holy in Christ. So doctrinally speaking, we're already holy. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:17. Which is why we will be allowed into heaven. Not because of anything we've done, but because when we got saved, God worked a miracle, put our sins on Jesus, and gave us Jesus' righteousness. And then justified us, which means he declared us sinless. Or holy. Which is amazing. And we're now a holy nation. 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are. In the Old Testament, there was a temple or a tabernacle where the high priest would go in and offer on behalf of the people once a year in the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died on the cross, God tore that veil from top to bottom to say, we have access now. We have access through Jesus. And that's why we're told in Hebrews 4:15 to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are a holy nation. But the practical side, if you go to Hebrews 11, verse 14, is now that we are a new nation, God wants us to also act like a holy nation. He wants us to be holy. Notice Hebrews 11, 14 tells us that we're part of a new country. It says here, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You and I are now citizens of a new country. Heaven. Amen. We aren't there yet, but we are citizens. That makes us a new nation. But not just any nation. Look at 1 Peter and chapter 1. God tells us that he wants us now to emulate his holiness so that we can be an effective holy nation in reaching out to a lost and dying world. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation is talking about our entire behavior and demeanor. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Because we're saved. Because we're Christians. Because we're children of God. And now when we get on our knees and pray for one another, we can execute that office of the priesthood. And as we live our lives in this wicked world and reaching out to the lost, God wants us to be holy. We won't be perfectly holy in our behavior, but we're to give it our best, amen, through Jesus Christ, so that we can be an effective testimony and so that our testimony backs up our profession. We claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be a holy nation. Then he goes on to say, 1 Peter 2:9, not only are we a royal priesthood and a holy nation, we're a peculiar people. What does he mean by that? It means he expects us to be different. That word peculiar means to be different or odd, if you will. That's us. We're to be different from this world. Titus 2:14, if you want to turn there quickly, tells us that when Jesus bought us with his blood, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, he purified unto himself, look what it says, who gave himself for us, Titus 2:14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. When he purified unto himself us, his holy nation, he purified unto himself a peculiar people. God wants us to be peculiar. Separate from the world. We read that all through the scriptures. We'll see more of it tonight when we look at Numbers chapter 33, where God expected his people to be different from the nations around him so that they could be a testimony of how God blesses a nation who puts God first. And that's what God wants from us, his holy nation, that we be peculiar. Look at James chapter 4, verse 4, just as one example. But we know it's all through the scriptures, isn't it? Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And here in James 4, 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Jesus said you can't have both. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. As the people of God, God has worked some amazing miracles to make us an holy nation. Amen? And to make us a royal priesthood. But he also wants us to be a peculiar people. As we reach out to this lost and dying world, he wants us to be in it, but not of it. Tough balance. When Jesus was praying for his disciples, if you go to John 17, he even prayed this specific prayer that God would not take them out of the world, but also that they wouldn't be of the world. And that's the balance that we have to face every day, isn't it? I'm just trying to remember the reference. Yes, verse 15, John 17, 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. This is the balance that every Christian has to walk every day. He never said, I want you to completely segregate yourself from the world and hide on a mountaintop until I come back. He didn't say that, did he? No, he said, I want you to be the light of the world. I want you to be the salt of the earth. He said, I'm not praying for these disciples and my future disciples that you'll take them out of the world because they need to be in the world. They need to be that salt. They need to be that light. But, Lord, to keep them from the evil. So we're to be in it, but not of it. We're to be peculiar. Amen? That is our calling as the people of God. That we execute the office of the priesthood, that we live a holy life, and that we be peculiar. While we're doing all that, 1 Peter 2:9, look back there, we're to be praising God constantly. Amen. Our lives should be constantly a life of praise and thanksgiving to the one who has done everything for us. Constantly praising the Lord, constantly thanking him. David said, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, even of thine only. He says, it shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Psalm 71, 15. That was David speaking. Lord, I just want to talk about your goodness, your righteousness all day long. Hebrews 13, 15. Let's turn there, talking about Christians. God tells us how often we are to praise him. So now we don't have to wonder. He's given us a specific number of times that we're to praise God every day. And it's not seven. We know the Muslims practice multiple times a day, setting aside that time to get down and pray toward Mecca, all that. How many times are Christians to praise God? Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What? There's your number. Continually. Amen? Don't stop. Every opportunity you get, you should show forth his praises. Is he worthy? Of course. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, the Bible says. Psalm 150, verse 6. Praise ye the Lord. Read the Psalms. It's all about praising God. And this new nation that God has created, this people of God, We are a priesthood, and we're to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, but we're to be showing forth his praises constantly. That's our number one task, is to bring glory to God, right? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Praising God continually. And then lastly, verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're saved today, God pulled you out of darkness and put you into light. You didn't do it to yourself. God did it for you. Amen. Acts 26:18. If you turn there, the Apostle Paul is recounting his commission from God as the apostle to the Gentiles here in Acts 26, verse 18. And look what he says in talking about his mission, which is our mission, to open their eyes. Amen. And to turn them from darkness to light. Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world, in John 8:12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you're born again, you have now been filled with the light of Jesus Christ, because he moved in the person of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Made you his temple. And that's why he said, you are now the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5:14-16. We're to be shining for Jesus. Amen. We've been pulled out of darkness and put into marvelous light. And God says that now, if you go to Ephesians 5:8, we are to walk as children of light. So he's called us out through Jesus Christ, made us a royal priesthood, made us a holy nation, made us a peculiar people that is to be praising him continually. But you and I are to be walking as children of light while we live in the midst of a dark world, don't we? A world that is run by the prince of this world. Evil everywhere. And yet, look what he says in Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk what you already are, is what God is saying. You're already a child of light. You already have the light in you from God. You are now the light of the world, as Jesus said. Walk that way. Be a child of light in your behavior. Because you're my chosen generation. You're my new royal priesthood, my holy nation, my peculiar people. That's to be praising me and to walk as a child of light. You and I both know that's a challenge, isn't it? Every day it's a challenge. Because we're surrounded by darkness. Evil is everywhere. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, everywhere you look. That's not going to stop until we leave this earth through the rapture or death. But we can do this because God told us to, because he lives in us. Amen? When he moved in, he not only gave us his power that we shall be witnesses, but he also gave us his light. He says, let it shine. Look at Philippians chapter 2 quickly. And verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So we've got two nations here. You and I are now a holy nation, but you and I live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So these aren't talking about specific earthly nations. What God is saying is there's basically in his program, there's only two nations. There's those that are citizens of heaven and those who are not. If you're a citizen of heaven, you're part of this new holy nation. If you're not, you're part of this nation, this crooked and perverse nation, which is the earth. And look what he says, what we're to be doing in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Among whom? That's us. We're among this crooked and perverse nation, and we're to be shining as lights in the world. Back to our passage, 1 Peter 2:10. This royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, a nation that is the light of the world, it's praising God all the time, we are, verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. That's us. We're the people of God. Amen. He came into his own, John 1:11, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them may be power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're a born-again Christian, you are now the people of God. You've obtained mercy, as it says there. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And Hebrews 11:24, if you'll turn there quickly, tells us that even Moses understood this. We know Moses had a super unique upbringing. He was a Jew brought up by an Egyptian princess. And so he was Jewish by birth, but Egyptian by how he was raised and where he lived. But there came a time when he grew up when he had to make a choice. And look what it says. By faith, Moses, Hebrews 11:24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made a choice when he was 40 years old. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, I'm part of the people of God. And yes, they are the slaves. Yes, they've been for 400 years, they've been abused. But I choose my people over the pleasures of sin. This is what God wants from all of us. To choose his people, amen, rather than the world. And how many Christians have we known over the years? Each of us probably personally that have chosen to walk away from the people of God and instead enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choose the people of the world over the people of God. We can't do that. We're told not to. We're said if we're a friend of the world, the enemy of God. You can't do both. So let's walk as people of God. Amen. God tells us that we are his servants, that we are his soldiers. We are his stewards. He says, walk like that. Be the people of God. Be that priesthood. Get on your knees, as it says, praying always with all perseverance and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? All saints. Get on our knees and pray for one another. Be that nation that's holy, that lives a holy life for God, that is peculiar and separate and different from this world, and that is continually praising God for who he is and his goodness. That's us. That's the people of God. So God teaches us all through the book of 1 Peter, walk what you already are. You are the people of God. Now act like the people of God. Amen. That's our responsibility. And no one can get to heaven and say, Lord, I just couldn't do it. God's going to say, of course you could. I moved in and enabled you so that you could. You just wouldn't yield to me. You just wouldn't surrender to me. You wanted to do it in your own strength. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We will always have that choice to act like people of the world or the people of God. And the decision that we should make constantly is obvious. God has made that clear to us in this passage. We are to act like the people of God. If you're a born-again Christian, that's you. If you're not a born-again Christian, well, you need to be. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's why we're here, so that people can know. And in a moment, you'll have an opportunity to slip out as we sing and say, you know, I want to make sure, I want to get this settled. I want to make sure I am saved, that I am born again, that my sins are forgiven, that heaven is my home. And just a matter of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing it and placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And I hope you will do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, this beautiful truth that you've called out a people, your people, the people of God, and that's us. And Lord, I pray that we'd act like it. I pray that we would be that chosen generation in our behavior not just in name, that we would pray one for another, live a holy life, be separate from this old world, praise you constantly, and walk as a child of light. Lord, I pray that that be our desire, to honor you with our behavior and our praises. And again, Lord, if to someone here,